save your life. A message from the CDC.
WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Is this the week you're going to get off your duff and start that small business you've been thinking about for so long? Well, this is the week to do it. It's National Small Business Week. But don't jump in without getting important information. My guests tonight have information to share that will help you get off on the right foot. They are David Harrington, President and CEO of the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce, and Ramona Washington. She is the owner of Lily's Furniture Gallery in Prince George's County. Join us tonight with your questions or comments at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHUR. Thank you both for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
So first and foremost, why is today the day that somebody should start their business, Dave?
Well, today is the day where you don't want to work for somebody else. You want to be able to control your own destiny, and you want to live your passion in a way that you can gain capital and be able to do job creation. So today's the day to really, I love what you said, get off your duff, begin to think, get a pad and pen, begin to think, identify your passion, what is marketable, and get some resources, which I'm sure we'll talk about later on, to start your business.
Well, let's say, Mrs. Washington, you've been off your duff for a long time.
Yes, I have.
You've been a business owner for quite some time. What?
22 years.
22 years.
Yes, most
That's
definitely.
Right. And so you started when you were 5.
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did.
I sure did.
Yeah, I tell you. Well, but now you're starting a furniture business. That is unusual.
Yes, it is.
Because there are so many furniture stores. Why a furniture business? And why Lily's? Because you're Ramona, right? Mrs. Washington. Right, she's whispering. Right, so why Lily's?
Well, Lily, my grandmother's name was Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it for her more so than anything. She was a fashionista herself in her time. And she died at the age of 93. Mm-hmm. And she was into interior design. So I wanted to continue her legacy. So that's why I named my furniture store Lily's Furniture Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Why furniture?
I have a passion and love for furniture. Most women, we love to shop. We love to buy clothes. I love to buy furniture in the same manner. You know, I can shop for furniture all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Prince George's County, when I decided to embark on this 3 years ago, I wanted to find that special place to call Lily's.
Mm-hmm.
I want to offer something to Prince George's County that we've never had. Restaurants, for example, in the county are at a minimum. We have to generally go into Washington, D.C., Montgomery County to find quality furniture, restaurants, everything. So I wanted to give back to my community, being that I'm from Prince George's County. I've graduated from school here, and I just wanted to give back.
Mm-hmm.
And furniture, there's a lot of homes that are being built in the area, and furniture is greatly needed,
mm-hmm.
and quality furnishings.
So are you making, designing? Is that, or where is it coming from?
Well, I've had the opportunity to attend many furniture shows. I've contracted with many vendors.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to go out of the country to just find quality furnishings. And I want to bring that back.
Mm-hmm.
I can't compete with any of the other furniture retailers because I'm a small boutique furniture store. And we are we want to sell quarterly lines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our goals are at this point.
You know, David, before you get to the point where Mrs. Washington is, whether it's furniture, clothes, services, before you do anything regarding starting your own business, what is the first thing that you need to consider?
The first thing that you need to consider is whether or not there's a market for your services.
How do you know that?
What you begin to do is build a plan. So part of your plan is to do research and to look at what is the marketplace, what is the market preference for, in this case, Mrs. Washington, what is the market preference for her kind of goods? She is selling and marketing high quality furniture. And I'm sure what she did, not to put words in Mrs. Washington's mouth, but she looked at that Prince George's County has the highest density of single family homes of anywhere in the region.
That's
correct. And there are very few furniture stores. So people tend to go outside of the county to do furniture shopping. And so she has created differentiation. And that is that she saw a place where we could sell furniture. Part of that then is doing a plan. What is the marketplace? What is the sustainability? And then executing that plan in a way where she recognizes the costs. She recognizes the revenue opportunities. She recognizes who her customers are going to be. And then she recognizes what is the infrastructure that is needed to meet that market demand.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is National Small Business Week, and we're talking about starting your own business, whether you're selling goods, whether you're selling services online or storefront. Give us a call if you have any questions, if you have any comments at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Mrs. Washington, as a previous business owner, what have you learned? If you've been doing it for 22 years, so I'm sure there are mistakes and victories that you've made and experienced. Tell me about them.
Well, let me correct you. The furniture store, that's not 22 years.
No, I'm okay. Talking about you've been a businesswoman for 22 years.
Yes, I have.
And so you are now embarking on a new venture.
Mm-hmm.
But you already have experience.
That's correct.
So what have you learned during the 22 years in business?
Well, I've learned that before I take on a new venture, to make sure that I have the right capital.
Mm-hmm.
That's first. Also, you want to also identify your demographic study. And what I did before, when I started thinking of the furniture store, I had to look to see what the demographics called for. And when I checked, there are 895,000 single family and condo homeowners in Prince George's County.
Mm-hmm.
And within the next 5 years, they're building 20,000 more homes that are already approved. So this was part of my study. So I said, hey, these clients are going to need furniture, and they're going to need quality furniture.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't misunderstand my question. Not everybody who wants to start their own business is going to sell furniture.
And for
your case, you don't want them to.
No.
You want them to come and see you. But my question is, as a businesswoman, and I'm talking about foundationally.
Okay.
What have you learned in these 22 years?
I've learned to be fearless, have a determined approach, and you just have to stay the course. You can't let anyone deter you, especially when you set your mind to something.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, you know, have your business plan set. You want to, you know, have your goals. You want to have many goals. You want to do a lot of research. You know, let's say if you were going to open a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
You want to first know how you have to know how to bake,
right?
So and you want to know
bake well,
yeah. You also would want to know what vendors you're going to get your products from.
Mm-hmm.
Your location, your brick and mortar would be very important. You don't want to just open up a bakery in a residential area where there's no visibility.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in a commercial zone. You want to find, the proper location to have your store. There's a lot. Then you have to think about your name. When you're thinking of a business name, you want someone to be able to identify.
Marketing.
Exactly.
But yeah.
In your name that you select,
mm-hmm.
you want someone to know that it's a bakery.
I wanted to join Mrs. Washington because I think there's a difference between, hey, I have a good idea than having a passion.
Mm-hmm. Right? That's true.
And so you use the baker analysis, which I think is right. Some people can bake, but there's another thing about baking commercially.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to meet the market's demands. Because you only get few chances and the margin of error is very slim. And so you have to really think this out and you have to really plan it in a way. Is this my passion? If this is something where if I have to stay up to 3 o'clock in the morning, I do it gladly.
Mm-hmm.
Not something where, okay, I'm just trying to replace my job and I think that this is something that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Business is a demanding, very high risk enterprise. And if you don't approach it like that with serious planning, with serious thought, this is why we have, almost 85% of small businesses fail within the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why? Is it because they're not working hard enough? They're not following the plan? Is it financing?
It's financing. It's capital. So what Mrs. Washington has done is brilliant in a way that she has other businesses that can fuel other ventures.
That's right.
And so cash flow is the number one reason why businesses fail in the first 2 years.
I want to capitalize, no pun intended, on that thought after the break. Sure. But before I go to a break, and I also want to let David in Maryland and Joey in Maryland know that we're going to talk to them, so please don't hang up. But for those who are looking for resources, David, where can they find information on the web for the Chamber of Commerce?
So our website is pgcoc.com. Or call me directly at 301-731-5000. You can also go to the Small Business Administration. They have some great mm-hmm. SBA, and they have some counselors who can walk you through building a business plan and taking your idea to paper.
Okay. And real quick, Mrs. Washington, your website for Lily's.
It's Lily's. FurnitureGallery.com.
Okay, is that gallery with a Y or an I-E-S?
I-E. Just I-E.
Gallery.
Uh-huh.
Lily'sFurnitureGallery.com. We're going to talk more about that in just a few seconds. But David, calling from Maryland, like I said, we're going to talk to you. We're going to talk to Joey calling from Maryland. Tia also calling from Waldorf. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHOR. By the way, all of the information that we've been discussing tonight will be on our website on WHUR.com a little after 8:30. Stay with us. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Is this the week to start the business you've been dreaming about for so long? Well, why not? This is National Small Business Week, and tonight my guests are sharing info that could help you get off on the right business footing. David Harrington is president and CEO of the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce, and Ramona Washington is the Mrs. Washington is the owner is the owner of Lily's Furniture Gallery. Thank you for that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let me go back to the phone lines. David calling from Maryland. David, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks for having me. Hi, Lily.
Hey, go right ahead.
All right. So my question is, I'm a veteran, and I'm currently thinking about starting a small business. I've already met with the Small Business Association. And the question I have is, after I discuss my business plan with them, at what point should I start considering, I'm hearing rumors about you have to have a business license or you got to get a tax ID. When should all that come into play in regards to discussing the business plan?
Well, David, what I suggest you do, you're going to want to make sure you have, I guess you have your business name already identified and incorporated. Is that correct?
I have a business name in mind, and I guess you could say I went on GoDaddy.com and made a domain.
That's fine. That's fine. You can do that, but you want to first make sure you go to GoDaddy tonight and incorporate your name. Make sure it's available. Secondly, you can actually go on the IRS.gov website. I want you to get a tax ID number, and it would be, you know, for your banking, your business purposes. You already have a plan established. Let me ask you a question. What sort of business are you considering?
While I was in the service, I did broadcasting. So now that I've got out and collected the public affairs skills in filming, I want to do like wedding shoots and contract jobs for like DOD.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Okay.
But should he, you mentioned incorporation, should he get an incorporation or should he do a limited liability company, LLC?
That's a good question, because when I looked on the website, it says, what do you want your business to be? Do you want to be a sole proprietor? You want to be LLC? What is the difference in those?
So LLC is a limited liability that essentially begins to separate your personal assets, you know, and so if for some reason you come into any sort of legal entanglements, your personal assets are protected, and only your business then would come under, you know, whatever kind of scrutiny. Most people start out as an LLC so that you're separating then, as I mentioned, your personal assets, and your business. And sometimes if you grow as a business, if you begin to grow as an entity, then you may do that. The other thing on the LLC, there's much more flexibility to diversify. So you may want to start a bakery business, but then you may want to get into insurance sales. You may want to get into other things. And LLC will allow you to have multiple ventures under one umbrella.
When should he get a lawyer?
I would say as soon as possible.
Which brings me back to my original question. What is the first thing he should do beyond the plan? Because we're telling him already to jump in and get a website. That's not the first thing he should do, is it?
Yes, he should.
He should get a website first? Should he talk to a lawyer first?
Well,
should he get a tax ID first?
Uh-huh.
I'm talking step by step, because mm-hmm. most people don't have the advantage of 22 years in business. Most people are like, I want to start a business and I don't know what to do. So beyond the plan, mm-hmm. what is the first thing, the very first thing they should do?
What I would suggest is that you contact your local Small Business Administration office and sit down with a counselor, and then they will hear your information. They will walk you literally step by step by step. I agree with Mrs. Washington, though. You may want to also do a search on what is the competition in the area that you're trying to serve, and get a sense of your name. Then who else has that name out there? And so then when you meet with the SBA counselor, then that's something that they could walk you through step by step to be able to then, you know, give you a full understanding of what you need to do.
Hey, David, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joey, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Joey. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I guess what I want to discuss is the way to get over that hump when I myself, I do taxes. I have a, you know, small tax business. You know, it's just personally. But when I'm trying to get into, like, doing sales with, like, gift baskets, fruit baskets, things of that nature, I've done delivery service where I was actually a courier, created my own little courier service. But the hump of getting over, I have a full-time job. And, of course, my full-time job pays the bills, takes care of all the insurance, you know, and it's pretty good for me. But at that same time, I'm just trying to cross that mountain to where I feel like I can go full time, but be in the position where, like I said, I can still maintain, you know, my life now, take care of my bills and things of that nature. And I'm just wondering, what is a good route that you see? Because I sort of tried one time to go in business with a gentleman and, wow, it's just like I was carrying a baby on my back. And I was like, man, you know.
So let me ask you, Joey, so we can be clear. What is your question?
I guess my question is, how do you get to that next level when you're working a full-time job, but you want to go into your own business, but you're looking at, okay, if I quit my job today to give my 10 hours a day to my business, I'm not having income come in. I don't see the income coming in.
That's a great question.
That's a really important
question, because a lot of people, and I'm sure you both know, that there are people that are working full-time jobs to pay the bills, and they're wondering, I think what he's asking is, when do I sleep? When do I take care of family and all the other things and get my dream started? Mrs. Washington, what's your suggestion? Did you ever work a full-time job before starting your businesses, or were you always an entrepreneur?
I worked when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I started years ago, like back in the early 90s, investing in real estate and buying and selling. And it was so lucrative for me. It felt good because, you know, buying and selling real estate is a form of self-employment. And most definitely my first building that I did was a 4-unit building in Northeast Washington, D.C. And back then it was considered a 203K loan.
And
I was so excited, and I realized a great profit. I was living in one of the units and renting out the other three. And at that point, I felt like, you know what? This is it. And I said I would never work again, and I haven't. I have no desire. Being an entrepreneur, there are certain risks that you will take. And
talk to me about that, because I think that's what Joey's talking about.
I think so too.
Yeah, those risks.
Mm-hmm. But Joey, what I suggest you want to establish and identify, because I know you mentioned that you were selling baskets or doing something along those lines. I want you to at least have, let's say if you had a contract with a company where you were making 100 baskets a month, then you can pretty much hang your hat on knowing that I'm going to have this revenue coming in with these 100 baskets every month. I don't want you to quit yet, because you don't have a surefire way to generate capital on a monthly basis.
Right. You know, if I can join you, Ms. Washington, because your advice is spot on. What I would say, Joey, is in the first, and Ms. Washington, I want to hear, you know, please react to this. I would say in the first almost 5 years, you may not see like profit. You may make revenue, but you're going to have to turn that revenue back into the business, because you're going to have to get product.
That's right.
And so, Joey, what I would do is project out your business for the first 5 years, you know, and onward, to say, all right, I'm going to be in business. I'm going to make try to make this kind of revenue. I'm going to identify these kind of customers, and then that revenue is going to in turn then help grow my business. Shameless plug, if I may. My wife owns a bakery,
right?
And I could, and Shortcake Bakery. Okay, honey, I can come home now. But I would say, you know, she's been in business for going on 5 years. I would say that in the first 5 years, all the capital that she made went right back to the business.
It does.
So, and but to that point also, and not to put too fine a point on it, but if he's working a 9 to 5, which is really a 9 to or an 8 to 6, mm-hmm. then and he may have other responsibilities. How do you balance the rest of the day with your dreams of a business and life that often happens?
So there's no such thing as weekends.
Mm-hmm. No, it isn't.
There's no such thing as 9 to 5. There's no such thing as weekends. You're working 7 days a week. So you're going to have to invest. You're going to have to etch out time that may be the weekends where you're doing your business. And the 8 to 6 and 9 to 5 that you're doing is about that. So this is a total, I can't emphasize enough. And Ms. Washington, please, you can chime in on this.
Okay.
This is a total commitment. I mean, this is life. This is not, you know, this is not a activity. This is life. I mean, please speak
what
to that.
People don't realize when you're self-employed and you're in business, you never have any time off.
Mm-mm.
And Joey, I'm thinking, as you know, based on what you told me you were doing, if I had your business, I'm just going to briefly tell you how I would handle it. You said you're selling and you're creating baskets. I would set up a website online. I would incorporate my name. I would set up a website. I would contact vendors and have basket creations or whatever your creations may be, put them online. You know, set you up my Instagram account, do some Google advertising, get your name out there, and just don't market the area that you live in. Because what I want you to do at some point, you got to generate revenue. And I'm going to go a step further, and then I'll let you speak, David. Joey, I had an online website. I was selling electronics. And my first month, I went to Google. I set up a Google account, and I incorporated my name. And my first month, I made $14,000 just driving business to my site. And let me tell you, I was making money at night in my sleep. And this is just an online website. I contacted a vendor. I set up various products that I was selling that people were interested in buying, and they were buying. I would wake up. I would batch out my sales. I had a drop shipper that was shipping things directly to my clients. I did not have to touch anything. And over the next 3 years, I made in excess of $500,000.
Wow. Well, there you go, Joey. Thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. And good luck to you, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely,
definitely, Joey. Good luck. Most definitely.
Need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Tia calling from Waldorf at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's Small Business Week. If you want to start your business, is today your day? It may be. We'll talk about it. We'll be back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about starting your own small business. What you need to know before you jump in with both feet. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tia calling from Waldorf. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have gained a lot of great information, I believe, just listening into your program. I was not aware that this was Entrepreneur Week, and I think that I just happened to turn the dial at the right time in the right day. My my situation is sort of similar to the gentleman who just hung up, in that I'm going through this in-between, or I'm position now in an in-between posture, which means that in 2 years I will be eligible for retirement. I have given my life, blood, sweat, and tears to working for other people, And after the two-year period, I am seriously considering going into entrepreneurship. So the information that you've shared thus far has been eye-opening and very interesting, and some of them I will actually start pursuing immediately. What really encouraged me to call in was the Lilly Furniture Gallery, and I wanted to tell Ms. Washington that I am a self-made entrepreneur.
Okay.
A self-made interior designer. It has always been my passion since an early teenager up until now. I have a gift for revamping existing spaces into something beautiful. I can go into a space and, in my head, just redo the entire space.
Great.
I've been doing furniture design for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And what I really have a passion for with interior designing is to do customized pieces in the home or residence or business facilities. And I wanted to know, one, how can I get in contact with her? Two, one, I would love to see Lily's Furniture Gallery. And two, just to talk to her for maybe some partnering or just maybe some insight from her.
Most definitely. I would more than welcome you. And I like the idea that you do have experience. And now let me ask you a question. Have you identified the name of your business or your interior design firm?
I haven't yet. Okay. Not at this juncture, no.
Okay. That's something that you want to do. Because
okay.
because even though you haven't retired yet, you are offering some sort of interior decorating services,
mm-hmm.
and you want your business to be seasoned.
Okay.
Because, for example, if you based on, let's say if you decide to go to the Small Business Administration, they're going to ask you, well, how long have you been in business?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people will just wait until they're ready to embark on their venture.
Right.
And now they want to go and think of a company name and, set up a tax ID. And most definitely with me being a furniture company in Maryland, I more than welcome you. If you stay on the line after we hang up, I'll make sure you get my information and we can actually meet.
Yeah.
You can come to my showroom. And I like the idea that you're interested in customizing custom pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you were referring to upholstery or, different home furnishings.
Okay.
And I'm glad you were able to, speak with me today because I can, accelerate your dreams and your goals and your aspirations. And you are ready to retire. So,
yeah. Yes, I am.
So most definitely this will be a excellent step in the right direction.
Very quickly, Tia, congratulations on even, beginning to think about the business. I think the question for retirees, and I'm getting there myself, full disclosure, to what extent do you want to invest your savings into then, your enterprise, right? Because are your savings going to go into, having a great life after you've worked very hard, or are you willing to take that risk and be able to do initial investment? And to Mrs. Washington's point, that's what SBA is going to ask you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you go be able to start talking to people, first thing they're going to say, okay, what is the skin that, as it's colloquially called, what is the skin that you're willing to put into your own self?
That's right.
And to the extent that the amount of that skin is going to determine then the other resources that are going to be available to you. So I would say think very carefully about looking at your savings, looking at the resources that you've amassed, and to what extent you're willing to invest in yourself.
Okay, I think that's a great point.
And let me say something to you. Once you retire and you embark on your new business, you're going to invest more time, energy, and effort in this business than you did in all the years you worked your job.
Great point. Great point. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you have great to be point. Ready for this.
That's a great point.
If you're ready for this, I'm ready for you. Because
awesome.
Yeah, and I'm located. I'm in Largo, Maryland. I'm at 9300 Lotchford Road. So I want to hear from you. I don't want you to hang up and I don't hear from you again because
you
I'm
know.
Yeah.
Well, Tia, and just as a reminder for you and others who are interested in talking to Mrs. Washington or finding out about the Prince George's County Chamber of Commerce, all of the contact information will be on WHUR.com this evening. So you will be able to reach out to Mrs. Washington or to David Harrington after the program, just so that you will be able to figure out which direction you'd like to go in. So thank you so much. You're quite welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great evening.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. David, we talked about some of the things that people need to do to start their own business. What kind of mistakes should they avoid before getting into this passion of theirs?
So it's interesting, and there's some data points around this. When you talk about particularly African-American businesses, we get into the service industry, and that's why I'm so intrigued with what Mrs. Washington is doing, mm-hmm. because it's she's creating a commodity rather than a service, right? So part of her business is service, but she has a commodity. She does buying. She does selling. And so let me differentiate that for a second. So a service industry would be like if you do management consulting or you do you might do web design. Design or something like that. A commodity is that you're producing something. And so 85% of businesses that are started by African Americans in the service industry, and that is a dense industry. And so what you have to begin, the first thing you have to do, if you're saying you want to be an IT designer, then what other IT design firms are in your area, and what differentiates you from the others? Right. Because when you go out there and begin to market, you're going to have to be able to say, I do this level of work that very few can do. Like Mrs. Washington said, there's no one who, in Prince George's County that's a furniture industry. And so that she has already created a differentiation of somebody that doesn't do anything of that. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, what is the amount of risk that you're willing to take? What is the amount of stay to it, this, if you will, that you're willing to take. Because you're not going to see, when you start, you're not going to see the high return. I think people expect that starting a business is the road to riches. Sometimes it's the road to rags. And so you have to be able to understand it's going to be a process. And so you have to get investment. And the third thing you have to think about, and certainly want Ms. Washington to join if I forget anything, is capital. The struggle for African-American businesses is trying to then get capital and trying to have a line of credit that allows them to leverage that credit for sustainability. And so these are mistakes. And I would say the fourth mistake that I see often, that people have a wonderful, and I said this before, people have a wonderful idea and they just think, hey, you know, I want to exercise my wonderful idea. I think I can make a lot of money. No, you go into business to gain wealth. And there's a difference between, and we could talk about later, of just making money.
What is the difference?
So the difference is that money is just about salary.
Mm-hmm.
While wealth is about investment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand that going into business is about attaining wealth in a way that is sustainable, where making money is just about carrying you on, and you're trying to then put that money into other kinds of material, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to have a wealth mindset that recognizes that that's going to be sacrifice and there's going to be investment. And so wealth is not a quick fix, right? It's about gaining assets. It's about then leveraging those assets to do then other kind of ventures, other kinds of sustainability. And so that's a mistake that people make, that just think that this is a money-making venture and going into business has to be a wealth equation.
Here's another thing, and I only have about a minute or so left, but I wanted you to have the final word, Mrs. Washington, in that you hear a lot of entrepreneurs talking about working in the business versus building the business. What's the difference?
Every business that I have worked in, I was 110%. I'm not going to build my business and turn my back because that's a disaster for failure. When you're self-employed and you're an entrepreneur, you're spending a lot of time, energy, and effort. You're spending more time than you would ever imagine. And I also wanted to touch on what you were saying, David, about when, you know, with the living expenses, when a person goes into business on their own, you want to have at least 6 months of incidentals and living expenses put aside.
Great point.
In addition to that, a lot of times when people go into business, they'll co-mingle their funds. You need to have a separate business account and a personal account. You want to pay yourself a salary on a weekly basis and continue working in your business. You can't ever take a back seat when you're self-employed.
Well, thank you both so much for talking to us, David Harrington and Mrs. Washington. Thank you again, and good luck, Mrs. Washington. And as always, the information that we were talking about will be posted on WHUR.com after the program. So for those of you who are interested in finding out more about starting your own business, or if you're in the market for furniture, you can look them both up. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, May 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.